139. That's a band called, actually it's not a band, it's a group of young adults from South Africa. The language is Zulu. And they just gather a bunch of young adults together and they just spend time of worship together. And so they have some CDs. I don't know how to get them because they're out of the country. They don't have an American or United States distribution, but they've got some of the most impactful worship songs out there on at least the internet. We will worship. You guys ready to hear God's word today?
Yes.
I am looking forward to this, but I'm going to pray and then we're going to dig into scripture here. Lord, I count it a privilege and an honor to share your word with hearers. I think about the return to Jerusalem. I think about the rebuilding of the wall. I think about the moment where your people stood and Ezra read the word from the law, and people were changed because they heard your word. And they were ready to change and be more like you. God, we can get to this point where we say, Lord, we want to hear your word, and your word does change us. But time happens and things happen, and sometimes we forget. And so, Lord, I thank you for allowing us to come together week after week after week to be reminded to focus our lives on you. I even thank you for being reminded that you surround us. You're behind us. You're in front of us. And that you've placed your hand upon us. For that, we give you praise. Lord, I want to hear your voice today. I'm going to speak. I prepared, but Lord, I want to hear your voice. And I believe the people in this room want to hear your voice. They don't need to hear from Varon. They need to hear from God. So if you'd use me, I'm willing. Speak, O Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And hopefully you all have an announcement page. In order for you to sing those song words, they were up here, but there's an announcement page. And hopefully you have a pen. Get a pen. You're going to need a pen. If you need a pen, there's jars of pens up front. There's jars of pens in the back. If you need a pen, grab one, or we can get someone to get you one. And can you put that slideshow up there, brother? Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 7. Paul is writing here. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowing, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that it be through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says here that he's experienced great loss. What did Paul say that he lost? I'm asking you. You can answer. What did Paul say he lost? Say it again. Things? Gains? He lost his gains? Yes?
Status as a Pharisee.
Yeah, yep, that's true.
Everything.
Here he says here, and all those answers are right. He says in verse 8, he says, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Paul experiences great loss. And what does he lose? He's lost all things. Everything is lost. All right, now that doesn't sound like it's good news, but the truth is, at some point, we all get to a point where we must count things that are not of God as loss. And we've got to trade all things in order to be found in Christ. at some point we all come to loss. We've got to count anything that's not of God as loss. And we've got to trade those things to be found in Christ. And if you've not been there, you'll be there. That loss is actually called brokenness. Brokenness. That loss is brokenness. And again, if you've not been there, if you've not been broken, you will be. Or maybe you're sitting here, you are broken. You're experiencing brokenness. Or maybe you have been broken and you're saying, yep, I know what it is. I've been broken. I've lost everything. I've been broken. But as a Christian, as believers, we all experience this thing called brokenness. As a church, we experience brokenness. It's the only way that God can put you on a path to fulfill His destiny. Now, this has probably been 4 or 5 months, 4 or 5 weeks now. I started with a sermon on what if. What if the church became the entity that God established and not the entity that the American culture has created church to be? What if church really became what church was in Scripture designed to be? We'd look at what we do a little bit different, you know? And we looked over the past few weeks, we looked at a movie called God Grew Tired of Us. We looked at the lost boys from Sudan. We've looked at their story and we've asked ourselves some hard questions as we looked at those stories of how do we look at the foreigner? How do we look at immigrants? How do we look at our neighbor? How do we look at those who are hurting, those who are marginalized? How do we see them? How do we view them? We looked at David. We said, you know, David, we know David as a king, but David was also taken from his home and put into a whole nother household with a king who really didn't care much for him. We didn't like him that much. We looked at Esther, and yeah, Esther was a queen and she did a great thing, but she was also an orphan. She lost mom and dad. She was an orphan, and then she was raised by a cousin. Then she was taken from him. And the question was, and when you look at all these stories, where was the church? Who was the church to these people? We looked at Jesus by the side of a well with a woman who was wearing a mask. She's showing him what she wants him to see. But underneath that mask, there was some hurt. There was some struggle. And Jesus had a way of cutting through the mask and still giving ministry and changing a life. That life change comes from this place of brokenness. Because this brokenness, what the brokenness does is it puts you back on the starting line. Because a lot of us want to start kind of here somewhere. We want a head start. Yeah, did anybody ever race when you were a little kid? And everybody lines up on the line, and when no one's watching, were you? That was me. I would kind of sneak up. Yeah, I would. And then when someone watched, oh, run. Sorry, I get back on the starting line. So I know I'm not the only one that did that. Yeah, right. I don't believe that at all. But most of us, we kind of want to start out here. And what God always wants to do is reposition us, put us back at the starting line, because He's bringing us somewhere. He has somewhere that He wants us to go. He has somewhere that He needs us to go. But if we start here, we miss the story. We miss it. We start somewhere out here, then there's some things that we're going to miss. And so He gets us back at the starting line. A lot of time, the thing that He uses to get you back at the starting line is this thing called brokenness. He has to break you. Doesn't sound too nice, does it? But oh my goodness, it's true. So we're going to walk through what brokenness looks like. And maybe some of this you can identify. What does brokenness look like? If you can, turn to Psalm 51. We sang it a moment ago. Psalm 51. What does brokenness look like? Psalm 51. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're going to read just a small portion of it. Psalm 51, and we're going to start in verse 7. I'm going to start reading. Catch up when you can, and I'll tell you where I am. But verse 7, it says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me," he's praying to the Lord, "and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities." Verse 10, this is what we're saying. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me," verse 14, "deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. And you do not delight in burnt offerings." This is some insight from David. "The sacrifices of God," or the sacrifices pleasing to God, "are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You know when he wrote this? It gives an account of when he wrote this. He wrote this after Nathan approaches him. And Nathan approaches him because God gives him insight, gives Nathan insight that David did something wrong. And you might know the account. David sleeps with a woman that's not his wife. She gets pregnant. He tries to get the husband to sleep with her so that he can cover his tracks. That doesn't happen. And so he arranges to kill the husband so he can marry the wife and cover his tracks. And that's what just happened. And Nathan shows up and says, "Hey, guess what I know about you?" And David hears back what he'd done and realized that he has not hidden it from God. He's hidden it from man, but he's not hidden it from God. And he says, "Oh my goodness, I'm broken. I'm caught, but I'm broken, God. And I understand I deserve some punishment for this." It's from when he says things like, "Deliver me," verse 14, "from the guilt of bloodshed, O God." This is not figurative. This is real bloodshed. He killed a man or caused a man to be killed. It's not figurative. It's not in theory. No, really. When he says, "My sin is always before me. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out my iniquities." He really did some stuff. It's there. And that's what he's writing. He's saying, "God, oh, I'm broken. God, oh, forgive me, please." And then he realizes, he says that the sacrifices of God, he said, "I can't give God stuff. As money's not going to cover this. Words are not going to cover this. The only thing that's really going to fix this, the only thing that God is really going to accept is a broken and contrite heart." A broken and contrite heart. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. A broken and contrite heart. I'm going to start with broken, though. Broken, I had a computer. And my computer was sitting on my little workstation. And I bumped my workstation, and the computer fell on the floor. Yeah. And unfortunately, the computer fell on the floor, and the computer works fine, but the little attachment thingamajig where you plug the thing into broke. And so it couldn't get plugged in, so it couldn't charge. And it broke. And so Vanette and I, we were calling around and trying to find a company to fix the computer, and we couldn't find a company that can fix the computer for a reasonable price. And at some point I whined and complained to Thomas, and Thomas said, "Well, let me see the computer." And he was gonna make some phone calls, but ultimately I guess you opened it up and maybe you glued some things together and you fixed it, and now that computer works fine. I can plug it in, it charges, it's fine. That is not this word. No. That is not that word for broken. This word in Scripture, and there's various words that the Bible uses, shabar is one, roah is one. This word means broken utterly or into pieces. That's that word. It means shattered, You hear that? It means destroyed. My computer was never destroyed. It wasn't shattered. He could put glue to it and someone else could have done something and it works. This means broken into, this means shattered. This is, if you come outside of your house one morning and you walk to your car and lo and behold, you look in your car and there's a brick on your front seat and there's shattered glass all over, and then you realize, oh, someone took a brick and chucked it into my windshield and destroyed my windshield, and now there's shattered glass all over the floor. That's this word. That is this word. What God is looking in your heart, looking for in your heart, in your spirit, is that it's shattered into pieces. See, Thomas could not take little shattered pieces of a windshield and glue them together and make it look brand new. It's shattered. It's destroyed. That's that word. David said, you're looking for God. You're accepting and you're looking for a broken spirit. And, to answer your question, a contrite spirit. So what does contrite mean? And there's a lot of different words for contrite when you look. Dach is one, dacha is one. And, you know, the Bible uses all these different words for contrite. But they all mean this. Crushed. Contrite. Collapsed. Contrite. The picture there is, and I've said this story before, me in Manhattan in 43rd Street on September 11th, and watching on a screen 2 hours after the planes hit both buildings, and looking on the screen and turning to my buddy after the Twin Towers fall, and looking at my buddy and saying, oh my goodness, the Twin Towers are no longer there. Right? It wasn't that you could put some sheetrock up and put some spackle on and all of a sudden you got the building back. No, no, no. The building collapsed. And for me, it was right before my eyes. And I know that I'm 40 blocks away. That's this word. It's collapsed. It's crushed. It's destroyed. Do you hear the gravity of that word?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's crumbled. And David insightfully says, I can't just make a little offering here and everything's okay. God, what you're really looking for me is a broken into pieces heart and spirit. You're looking for me to have everything, all that I've hoped for, my will to collapse. Why? Because God will not share. He's not good at sharing his glory or his lordship with anyone else. He will not share it. God doesn't say, all right, I'm cool, we can partner, you can be Lord, and I'll be Lord. You got these areas, I got these areas, we'll check in every 2 or 3 weeks to see how we're each doing. No, no, no. He says, I want it all. I am Lord. I want to be Lord over your life. We can't both be Lord. We can't do it. So God says, either I'm going to step out of the way and I'm going to let you be Lord of your life and see how it works out. And some of us do that. Some of us say, cool, yeah, I'm now Lord of my life. And then years later, we look back and say, ooh. So God will even step out of the way. He'll say, all right, I'll let you want to be Lord. I'll let you be Lord over your life. Or he says, you know what? Let me be Lord. Let God be God. Which means I might have to break you to get you back to the starting line. Because you're starting way out here. And you're missing so much because you think you got it. So sometimes You have to be broken. And David here is broken. David here realizes, oh man, I've done some things. I'm too far. And I'm broken. Here's what's interesting. This happens before 2 Samuel 12, I think. It's 12, 13, I believe it is. In 2 Samuel, we see that how it plays out. Nathan, matter of fact, let me just hang on a second. I'll get there. Nathan tells David, 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, Nathan says to David, verse 13, David says to Nathan, yes, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan says to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. You know, he'll forgive your sin. You're not going to die. However, because by this deed you've given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child who's born to you, he is going to surely die. And then Nathan departs to his life, to his house. And so months later, whatever, we don't know how old the child is when he dies, but months later, David experiences the loss of his child. Think about it, he's broken when he's found out. But then again, later on, then he loses a child because of the same sin. And I would guess that he's broken again. He's broken again. See where David is here, and if you're taking notes, David loses his child due to his sin. And he repents, but he can't change the outcome. He can't change what Sam likes to talk with you teens about, the consequence. There's a consequence for every action. And just because you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll do better, that doesn't mean that the consequence is not going to happen. David repents, but he doesn't change the outcome. And in fact, his choice affected someone else. And think about the brokenness there when you realize my actions and what I've done didn't just affect me. Now there's other people that are affected as well. This child dies because of what David did. There's a brokenness to that. When God allows you to open your eyes and see, this what I've done, my sin, my actions, my activity, my inactivity, this has not only affected me, but it's affected others. It's a brokenness. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've done some things in your life where you look back and say, man, it's a brokenness. Here's a broken. I'm going to give you another brokenness. I'm going to move past that. Back in Philippians, we started with Philippians, Paul. Here's another brokenness. This is Paul in Philippians chapter 3. I read a brief period. Excuse me, a brief part of it. And Carl, you, Ricardo, I think you kind of hit on this. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. This is Paul. This is the rest of the context. Paul says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I have it more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Check. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. Check. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Check. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Check. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Check. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Check. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things. And I count them all as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He says, I am looking to be like identified with Jesus. And the closer that I'm getting to Jesus, I realize that everything else that I accumulated, every other accolade, every other success, every other achievement, every other accomplishment, it is loss. How many people, bring that into 2018, are seeking the American dream? Whatever you define that as. Some of you, big house, car, dog, wife, children, whatever it is, career, money, a certain amount of money that you want to achieve, something. It comes to a point where you realize everything that I've worked so hard to build up and achieve, when I'm faced with Jesus, sometimes I learn that they took me from Him. They don't deliver what they promised or what I thought they would deliver. There's a brokenness in that. There's a brokenness when you give all your time and energy and life and everything and you pour it all into this stuff and the stuff doesn't satisfy. And Paul kind of gets there. He faces Jesus and Jesus says, you know, you're persecuting me. Who are you? I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. But I achieved all this stuff. And I'm good at it. Yeah, but you're barking up the wrong tree. People think that it's just the poor and the homeless that need Jesus. There's some rich people in some big mansion somewhere that are looking at all the stuff that they've got and they're lonely. They're alone. They're hurting. They're empty. They need Jesus. See, Paul gave everything for a cause that he thought would be worth it. And he finds out that it wasn't what he thought it was. And maybe that's a brokenness that you face. You've given everything for a cause that you thought this would be worth it. And then you sit there and realize, this is not what I thought it was. There's a brokenness to that. There's a brokenness to that. I'll give you another David broken. This is Psalm 34. I'll just kind of summarize this for sake of time. This is another David. Psalm 34, verse 15. And I think I have this in your sermon notes, so you can definitely refer to it later. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and He saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Interesting when he writes this. He's on the run from Saul, the one that he was taken from his family to serve in his household. And Saul is now trying to kill him, not even hiding it anymore. He's pursuing David for the purpose of killing him. And David's been on the run. He's looking for allies to help him out. And he comes upon this king, Achish, right? And he needs some help, but he realizes in his war days, he's defeated Achish's people. And so he's like, I'm running from Saul for my life, and now I've got this king who might be mad at me. They partner later on, but he might be mad at me, so I've got to get away from my life. And so what David realizes he has to do is he has to put on a mask. The Bible says that he pretends to be insane, so that the king looks at him and says, don't bring me any insane people. Get him out of here and spare us his life. Think about that. David, the king of Israel, running from his life, running for his life, pretends to be insane. And he doesn't just, you know, fake it. The Bible says he's drooled all over his beard and he's really playing the part. And can you imagine somewhere in his psyche saying, why do I have to do this? I'm the king of Israel. Why do I have to put on this mask? Why do I have to be this person? I was anointed the king. And could you imagine being there where whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, you've got to put on a mask. You've got to be someone that you're not. Knowing that God has called you for so much more. The picture is a person who's homeless. Think about the person who tried, you know, to take care of their bills and support their family, and then they lose a job, they can't pay the bills, and now they're living in a car. And they're looking at wife, and they're looking at kids, and they're like, oh, my promise to you was that, and I'm a Christian, I love God, and I promised a good life, and now we're living in a car. David's here at this place of compromise. He's living below his worth. And sometimes we're there. Sometimes we look at our life and say, this is not what I know that I was supposed to be doing. I'm broken. And it's, I've got more. I've got personal accounts of brokenness. And there's more. But God uses brokenness. Because it kind of gets us, it gets us back to the starting line. Because a lot of times we want to start out here somewhere. And we are usually the ones that bring ourselves to the starting point. And God says, no, I'm going to break you. Because I need you to the real starting point so that I can do something in you. Brokenness, and I have this in your notes, it's not just feeling sorry for myself. Not just, oh yeah, I got caught. It's not being sorry for myself, my situation. It's godly sorrow which leads to repentance or change. That's what brokenness. 2 Corinthians 7, 8 and 10, you'll find that. And here's why this is important. If we don't allow this brokenness to change us, guess what happens? We risk being broken again. That's profound. If you don't let your brokenness change you, you risk being broken again. How many of you have been broken more than one time? Yeah. And God will break you as much as He wants to in tiny little pieces until you get it. So it's actually good news. It's actually good news. Because when you're broken, something has to happen. Right? What's the now what? I'm broken. I'm there. I've been there. Or maybe you're not there. You're going to be there. Once you're broken, now what? Does God say, I'm shattering you into pieces just to shatter you into pieces and then we move on from there? No, I think there's a destination here. There's something that happens. There's something that God wants happen. I'm broken. Now what? What do I do with that brokenness? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you can write this down. I'm going to just jump in and read this. I'm going to read it from verse 20. The Bible says, and Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but there's also vessels of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Right? There's some stuff in your house that you put out on your coffee table and on your mantle, and people come, oh, wow, I like that picture. Wow, that's a beautiful play. Well, this one. And then there's some stuff that you hide in your closet. Right? Yeah. It says, in a house, there's some things that are for honor, and there's some things for dishonor. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the dishonorable, then he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In other words, there's a work that God wants you to do. And it's a good work that He wants you to do. But you can't get there until you're clean. Until you take this brokenness and you start here and say, God, clean my heart. Clean my heart. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be useful to God. How many of you want to be useful to God? I want to be useful to God. I don't want God to say, Veron, you're nice, but I'm going to stick you in the closet. I want to be the one that He puts on the mantle and says, God, Veron, you're doing your thing. You're doing what I want you to do. And He says, clean, be clean, clean, be clean, be clean, be clean. Be a vessel of honor so that you're useful to God. That's what the brokenness is for. It's for you to be able to look and say, all right, God, I tried it my way. It didn't work no matter how I did it. I did it upside down. I did it backwards. And it just didn't work. God, clean me. I am broken. I am shattered. I there's no more me. My will is gone. My purposes are gone. My desires are gone. You've broken me, God. I'm shattered. I'm crushed. Renew me. God has a way. He doesn't use tape. God has a way, and I don't know how He does it. He has a way of looking at that shattered windshield that I talk about with that brick, and He has a way of taking those pieces and putting it back together and it looking even more beautiful than it started. Amen. God does that. Yeah. God does that. You look at your life and you look at all the mess that you've been through. I don't know about you, I've been through mess. And I look at all the ugliness and the disgust and all the stuff of my past. And I look at what God has done here. And I'm like, God, what I was and where I am, how did you do that? Amen. 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 But he does it. He takes the broken pieces. He takes the shattered pieces and he puts it back together. And he makes you a vessel of honor, useful to the master. Useful to the master. There's other passages there. I encourage you, look those up. I'm not going to go through them all. I'll read this one, Psalm 147. I think I have this in your notes, and I'll give you the fill in here. Psalm 147, verse 1 through 3. The writer says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and his praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds." Oh, you hear that picture of God? He brings healing and restoration to the brokenhearted. He binds your wounds. He puts it back together. He makes it new. That's what God does. You find yourself broken, it's a good place. Go to the Father. He will bind you. He will make you new. He'll renew your spirit. He does it. He promises that. Isaiah 61. Prophet prophesies here, and Jesus quotes this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound." And Jesus says, this is fulfilled today. Jesus says, I'm the fulfillment of this. He's sent to heal the brokenhearted. He's sent to do all this stuff. He's sent to heal the brokenhearted. He doesn't just leave you broken. He wants to heal you. He wants to renew you. He wants to prepare you. He has a good work for you to do. He wants to do all of that stuff. He wants to do that. And he can. And he will. And maybe you're in here and you've been broken and you know what it feels like. God will send you to be the conduit, the messenger, to establish his grace to someone who is broken now. I love talking with Sergeant Fisher from East Precinct. He said, I remember having a conversation with him. He said, you know, Pastor, if there's any kind of emergency in Davidson County, he said, we can respond within 3 minutes. Within 3 minutes or less, we can get to any place in Davidson County. You know, and I thought it was weird that they don't have people in precincts. In New York City, the precinct is, that's where the police officers are. They're in the precinct, and then they're dispatched. He says, that's not how we do it in Nashville. The police are out on the street, and then they get a radio or whatever, and then they go, and they're all over the place. He says, we can get to anywhere within 3 minutes. 3 minutes or less. And in high crime areas, it's much less. It's like a minute or less. We can get there. Why? Because they're police officers. Their job, they don't find glory in sitting down eating donuts. The joy of a police officer is running into a place where there's danger and alleviating the situation, saving someone, rescuing someone, taming a situation. That's what they want to do. A fireman doesn't find joy in just, you know, climbing up and down the pole. No, the fireman wants to run to that house and deliver that guy before the whole structure collapses. He wants to put out the fires before there's more damage. That's what he wants to do. The EMT person is not just, hopefully, turning on the emergency lights just to see how quickly he can get out of the way. No, the EMT person says, when there's a traffic accident, there's someone that's out there on the highway that needs to have some CPR done or whatever they do, they want to be there. And you know what? The world runs away from the danger, right? There's a fire. There's a gun shooting. Most people are running away. The police, the fire department, the EMT, the church. We're running to it. We're running to it. Because there's broken, there's need. Jesus runs to it. God brings healing to the broken. That's what he does. I'm going to close with a thought. Jennifer, are you able to play an instrumental something, if that's okay? I'm going to close with a thought. And track with me here. And I'm going to give this thought, and I'm not giving this thought to actually be funny. There's a And you can leave this on the screen there, Stephen. You don't have to turn that. And Troy, would you mind just turning that light down, please? Some of you know that I watch the Star Wars movies, and I enjoy the Star Wars movies. They're nice fantasy, and they're fun. But what's interesting is that the new movies, if you kind of know, the new movies hit on something that it's interesting when you think through it. Because in 1977, when the very first Star Wars movie came out, I was 6, and I went to the movie theater, big screen, downtown Brooklyn. It's now Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, but that's where I saw the first Star Wars movie, and it was just a great movie. And we didn't know it was episode 1, 2, 3, 4. We had no idea. It was just Star Wars. That's what it was. And then 1980, they put out the second one, and it says The Empire Strikes Back, episode 5, and then all of us, you know, I was, whatever, that's 6 years later, so I was 9, and then we all look back. Oh, episode 4, why did it start there? Oh, it's weird, I don't know. But these brand new ones, there's 3 new ones, Rogue One and The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, they just came out. And they all hit on something from the very first one that came out. And I'm sure they were doing it to be artistic. They're doing it to be creative, to show the fans that they honored it. But they hit on something that I thought was interesting that they keep hitting on this. This is Star Wars. And the theme that they kept hitting on was hope. And somehow they wrapped up the whole Star Wars saga into this word. And if you do watch any of those movies, you'll hear it over and over. Hope, 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 hope. And over the past couple of months, I was listening to a preacher, and that came up to me, and that word, hope. I was reminded, because I can get so mature that I forget some of the elementary things. I forget one of the biggest parts of the gospel is that the gospel offers people hope. Jesus offers you hope. You're not out here fighting a losing battle. You're not out here being broken just to stay broken. You're actually here because there's a hope that's in Christ. And there's something that God is trying to do in your life. There's something He's trying to design and form. There's a vessel of honor that He's trying to create. And so in order to get you to where He wants you to be, He's got to break you. Because if you're there, if you're not broken, you're never going to really get to what God wants. And so He's got to sometimes shatter, sometimes crush, collapse your dreams and your hopes, and sometimes He has to do all of that so that He can get in there and reform and redesign and get you to a place where you can achieve or reach the hope that's in Jesus. There's salvation, there's saving grace in Jesus. There's a hope of eternity in Jesus. And sometimes the road is rocky. Sometimes it's hard to get there. Sometimes there's turmoil, sometimes there's pain. And listen, crushing and shattering, it does not feel good. Most people broken don't walk into the, they put on the mask to walk into the church, they walk out of the church and they're crying. But there's hope. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with you. I don't know what broken looks like to you. I gave you 3 examples of brokenness. There's so many examples. I don't know what brokenness looks like to you. But whatever it looks like to you, God is working something. There's a hope that you're aiming for. There's something that He wants you to do. He's creating a vessel of honor useful to the master, according to 2 Timothy. That's where you want to be. Would you bow your heads? With your eyes closed, and you can be very transparent. If you're here tonight and this morning and you say, man, I'm there. I am being broken. I'm being crushed. I feel shattered. Would you stand up? It's okay. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. see the people here. And you know the situations. You know them specifically. God, I know that you don't waste pain. I know you don't. And I know that there's a group of people that you're looking to put right back at the starting line. Because there's a destiny that you've designed for them. There's something that you've created for them to do. Lord, your word says, Psalm 139, we sang it earlier, you surround us, you're behind us, you're before us, you've placed your hand upon us. And God, sometimes the pressure of your hand has to break us, because otherwise we won't listen. But your people are standing today saying, God, I'm listening. You have my attention. I'm broken. It hurts. I know you'll never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me. I know I'm standing on a firm foundation. God, it's hard. Give me the strength to get through it. God, I pray for them today. Give them the strength to get through it, to not give up, to keep pressing on, to keep going forward, to be and to do and to achieve and to accomplish, but simply to sit in your presence and say, God, I need your strength. Would you repeat after me? Definitely you who are standing, anyone else in the building, feel free to repeat after me, but let's make this declaration. Say, Dear Jesus, I've heard your word. I feel broken. I feel crushed. It hurts. It's painful. I know I need you. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are with me. Walk me through this, Lord. I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. I'm relying on you. Only you. Oh God, you're my God. I trust you. This brokenness that I feel is temporary, because you're making me a vessel of honor, useful to you. And if this is my process, I'll walk it. If this is what I've got to go through, I'll go through it, because you're with me and I trust you. Make me strong. Help me lean on you. Not on my own strength, on your strength. I need you. I'm desperate for you. I'm here. Use me. Make me. Refine me. Make me pure as gold. Burn away the dung. Burn away the mess. Refine me. Refine me. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. God, I pray for your people. I lift them up. Strengthen them, Lord. May these words that they've repeated and said dig deep in their souls and in their hearts and make them the vessels of honor that you've designed them to. There's a hope and a future, and it's in you. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. We're your people. We're your people, Lord. We're going to sing a closing song. But after that song, if you want to spend some time in prayer, feel free to do that. Just come and see me. My wife is here. You can come and see her.